$1,000. Now, text the keyword LUCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LUCK to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
710 WOR.
Good morning to you, everyone, at 8:05. Have you gotten over the royal wedding yet? I mean, unbelievable. That just dominated your life, didn't it, Michael Riedel? I mean, it's over, I guess. Is that guy still talking? Reverend Michael Curry. I think he's still talking.
I have to tell you, I didn't walk across the Atlantic Ocean to get here. Controlled fire in that plane got me here. Fire makes it possible for us to text and tweet and email and Instagram and Facebook and socially be dysfunctional with each other.
And those, what is he talking
those
about?
Those royals are sitting there saying,
what? Not even the royals. I was sitting there thinking, what is he talking about? The
controlled fire.
Allows us to text
and... The controlled fire on the plane.
I didn't know what he was talking about.
He didn't walk over here. He didn't walk across the ocean. It was unbelievable. But I woke up at this point, and there were...
I love the choir. The choir was great.
Hey, Natalie, was it everything you hoped it would be? I mean, because you were a lot more into this than Michael and I were.
It really was. I have to tell you, I woke up. I had been up very late on Friday, but I said, I'm getting up. So I didn't get up at 4 a.m. to watch all the pregame, as I like to call
show,
it.
Yeah.
But I did get up about 6:45. So I saw the family coming in and all their fancy cars and checking out what they were wearing as they were walking into the church. And I stayed up and watched every bit of it.
Were there any protesters, any people who read the Guardian?
Those
lefties out there who are Republicans who don't believe in the monarchy, weren't there any protesters?
If there were, they had them hidden so well you would not have known it. Wow. And I didn't even hear any reports of that.
No, when they took the car ride, first of all, what really annoyed me was that beautiful blue sky. It was just gorgeous. Here it's rained. Our golf game's rained out. Gorgeous blue sky for the, and they're driving around town in the convertible. Everyone's cheering and going nuts.
They were in a carriage. They were in a horse.
Well, it was
drawn carriage as they were going through.
It wasn't covered.
It was, no, it wasn't.
It was something had wheels on it.
I thought her dress was too big. It was just
that's
there was so
my,
much of that dress. It was just I would
that's what my daughter said
to unfold that. What do they call it? A veil or a train?
Train.
She had
a train.
Yeah.
Train.
Well, what was going from her head that went all the way back was her veil, or I guess it was a train too. But my daughter also says, she's like, don't you think they could have fit that dress a little bit better on her?
I know.
I thought she looked gorgeous, but I thought to myself, because a lot of people were, their comments were, oh, it wasn't that pretty. And I said, you know what? She had to go as understated as possible, because if she had anything
There was nothing understated about that dress. That train stretched from Windsor to Toronto.
There was not a bling on it. It wasn't low cut. It was very conservative.
She looked like a big dollop of whipped cream.
Very conservative gown.
She looked pretty.
She did look very pretty.
It was long sleeves. So I thought to myself, you know, she really couldn't have anything too elaborate because people would have just ripped her apart.
You know who I thought he looked a little bit like he was in his Pimm's cups? I watched the pregame show, if you will, with Don Lemon on CNN. He was a little, he looked a little loop-de-doop-de. He was having a jolly old time there covering the wedding.
Jolly old England. Yeah. Hey, and the royal wedding doesn't even make our big three this morning. What do you think of that? It's such a busy Tuesday. Our big three, the president is demanding, he said on Twitter that he would demand today an investigation of the FBI and Department of Justice about whether his campaign was spied on for political gain. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani, that great sage of mankind, has claimed that Robert Mueller will end his obstruction probe by September 1st. And if Rudy said it, it's got to be true.
He claims that the Mueller team has said that they will wrap it up by September 1st.
Momentarily, we'll be speaking with Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst. I want him to sort this out for me because clearly this is all about politics, and that's why we have a political analyst on. Also in the big three, as we mentioned earlier, funeral services for 10-year-old Miranda Vargas. Now, we don't know if that's true what that caller said, huh? I mean, I had not heard that. A caller called Natalie and said that this Miranda has a twin. So I
twin sister, I think. Yeah. Well, but we don't know. We haven't confirmed that.
Right. I heard a twin. I haven't found out if it was a brother or sister. And we just found one report that said that the twin was on one of the other buses.
Ooh, so there was a twin. So Miranda, the little girl.
Adorable little girl.
Being laid to rest today. The funeral in Clifton. Rounding out the big three, NYPD says that celebrity chef Mario Batali under criminal investigation. 60 Minutes last night, if you saw it, they interviewed a bunch of women who claimed that he attacked them. But this woman claimed to be drugged and sexually assaulted at one of his restaurants.
Well, the Spotted Pig down in my neighborhood in the West Village, where by the admission of the owner, Ken Friedman, they had a room on the third floor that they called the rape room.
Oh, boy. That's not good. Well, NYPD's now looking into it, as they are with Harvey Weinstein. You know, it's like on and on and on. Yep. At 8:30 this morning, in about 20 minutes, we'll have the Turning Point contest. Chance for you to win Mets tickets as the Mets are suddenly hot, sweeping Arizona tonight. They play the Marlins at Citi Field. Coverage here on WR begins at 6:05. All right, when I saw the story break, and I jokingly tweeted that it was nice that with Melania coming home, the president just calmed down and was relaxed. No, he wasn't. He went on this Twitter tirade yesterday. He even called Melania Melanie in one of his tweets. Welcome home, Melanie. Anyway, but when I saw this, I said, we got to get somebody on to explain to me what this is all about, because now he wants the FBI and they're spying this. You know, in his, well, I'll let Steve Roberts explain it. Steve, ABC News political analyst, as I see it, Steve, the president would love nothing better than to have it proven that Barack Obama took an informant by the hand, embedded them in the campaign just to spy on him, on Trump. Isn't that what he would love to prove?
Yes, and he would love to prove that as a sign that the whole investigation is not legitimate. But then, not the first time we've heard something like this from Donald Trump. Remember, he accused President Obama of wiretapping his campaign and wiretapping the Trump Tower at one point, a totally fictitious allegation which has never been proven. This is very much in line with the Trump strategy, which is you throw as much stuff out there as you can, you try to obfuscate, you try to cloud the investigation, you try to discredit the special counsel Robert Mueller, you try to raise doubts and confusion. And this is the way Trump has always operated. This is the way Rudy Giuliani is operating, because there is a real concern in the Trump camp that this investigation, if it goes through the fall, will affect the fall elections. Not with the hardcore Trump supporters. They, if anything, will be energized by cries of witch hunt. But they're not the ones who are going to decide this election. This election can be decided in a lot of suburban districts outside of Pittsburgh, outside of Philadelphia, outside of Cleveland, by voters, many of them moderate Republicans, many of them women, who are dismayed by the Trump administration. And they're the ones who could be affected by an ongoing investigation. And the smart political analysts in the White House understand that. And that's why they'd love to have this wrapped up before the election. Giuliani said he hopes it would be ended by September 1st. I think that is totally wishful thinking. I do not see that happening. But and I do think that this will be going on over the election period. And I think it can have a damaging effect to the Republicans.
Steve, how effective then is Trump's strategy of discrediting Mueller and the entire investigation? Is that only going to play, though, with his base and not go beyond that?
That's my sense. It's having some effect. I've looked at the polls very carefully here. And, you know, at one point, Mueller's favorable rating was at about 60%. It's dropped about 5 points in the polls I'm looking at to about 55%, which means a clear majority still favors the investigation. There has been some erosion. And we know from history that these special counsels, they have a shelf life here. They have a sell-by date. And if you stay too long, people start saying, this is a lot of federal money. This is going on too long. Why don't you wrap it up? So there's no doubt that there is a threat here that Mueller can lose support if he goes on too long. But the fact is that the key here to wrapping it up is whether the president is going to testify. Giuliani says, well, we want it wrapped up by September 1st, but that's only if the president agrees to testify under certain circumstances. And while the president keeps saying he wants to testify, the reality is that his own lawyers are very afraid of that. We know because he brags about it, that Donald Trump fabricates, Donald Trump exaggerates. Well, it's one thing if you do that on page six of the Daily News. It's one thing if you do this when you're the host of a TV show like The Apprentice. You exaggerate and fabricate when you're under oath in a federal investigation. That's perjury, pal. And so the his lawyers know this man is so reckless and so impulsive that putting him under oath is a very dangerous thing. So this is not going to wrap up until the president testifies, and no matter what he says, his lawyers really don't want him to do it. So there's kind of a stalemate there.
We're on with Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst in Washington. Steve, we have about a minute left. The president keeps saying there's no evidence of Russian collusion. There was none. All of his supporters say nothing has come out about Russian collusion. My co-host Michael Riedel joins all the Republicans saying there's nothing there. Do you as an analyst think there's nothing there?
No, I think there is something there. I think the, you know, there have been 19 indictments and guilty pleas already from the Mueller investigation. So there clearly was something there. But let's be fair as we can here. Collusion in and of itself is not a crime. What is a crime is perjury. What is a crime is obstruction of justice. What is a crime is conspiracy. What is a crime is fraud. And so the oldest line in the Washington book, that the cover-up can be worse than the crime. I think the biggest legal jeopardy for Trump and his team is not collusion per se. It's how they've handled the aftermath of the investigation. That's where the real vulnerability is.
Thank you, Steve. Very cogent, and I appreciate the insights. Steve sure. Roberts, ABC News political analyst.
Say hi to your wife, Cokie. I'm a big fan.
Me too. Thanks.
Good to hear.
Thanks, Steve.
We come back. Kelly Clarkson stops the show and all the gun comments making the rounds. Some of them are woohoo way out there. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 at 9:05 and Mark Simone at 10 o'clock here on 710 WOR. But right now, Bernie Viter with traffic.
And a very good Monday morning to you, and what better way to start the week than winning some Mets tickets at 8:30 if you can guess Len's turning point of the game. Coming up at 8:30, don't call now, but in 5 minutes, you're going to have your chance to win some seats to the Mets, and they're on a roll now.
It was a toughie. Good luck as they swept Arizona.
That's it, yeah. So, hey, Kelly Clarkson, Len, was on last night hosting the Billboard Music Awards, and they were going to call for a moment of silence because of the shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, but I thought she was pretty effective. She's tired of a moment of silence.
Tonight, they wanted me to say that obviously we want to pray for all the victims, we want to pray for their families, but they also wanted me to do a moment of silence. And I'm so sick of moment of silence. Like, God, it's not working. Like, obviously. So, sorry. So why don't we not do a moment of silence? Why don't we do a moment of action? Why don't we do a moment of change? Why don't we change what's happening? Because it's horrible.
Yeah, pretty solid.
All right, so the question is then, how do we change it? How do we stop this plague of shootings in this country? What is causing it? What's behind it? Is it simply just outlaw all guns? Maybe that's the way to go. Or is there something to be said for this culture of violence that kids are exposed to relentlessly and desensitized by?
So here's the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick.
It's not about the guns. It's about us. We have devalued life, whether it's through abortion, whether it's the breakup of families, through violent movies, and particularly violent video games. Students are desensitized to violence, may have lost empathy for their victims by watching hours and hours of video violent games.
So the Daily News accused him of blaming everything but
guns.
Yeah.
I think there is something to the violence in those games. I mean, I've never really played video games, but I've seen kids on the subway, kids I've been around playing them. And those games, they're terrible, Len. They're terrible. You just blow things up. You blow people up. You shoot people. You can pretend you're some sort of a video game warrior. That has got to take a toll on dehumanizing children.
And also, you don't die. And if you are killed, you come back to life in a video game, which is not realistic. Now, after those comments by Lieutenant Governor, one guy who was really upset was Fred Gutenberg.
Yeah, who lost a child in the Parkland shooting.
Those are the most idiotic comments I've ever heard regarding gun safety. To hear him continue to make the argument after 10 people died in his state that guns are not the issue is simply a crock. I'm here this weekend at what was supposed to be my daughter's dance recital. where they're honoring my daughter's memory instead of having my daughter dance. And for that man to make those moronic comments, unacceptable.
Well, this debate's not going away.
It isn't.
And our legislators aren't doing anything. You know, and they talk, they say it's too soon. Well, it's too late as far as I'm concerned.
And now Oliver North is the new head of the NRA. What did he have to say over the weekend?
Nearly all of these perpetrators are male, and they're young teenagers in most cases. And they've come through a culture where violence is commonplace. All we need to do is turn on a TV, go to a movie. If you look at what has happened to the young people, many of these young boys have been on Ritalin since they were in kindergarten.
So he's blaming Ritalin now.
I don't get the Ritalin thing there. I do think there is something to the culture of violence. And we got to find out more about how this kid, the shooter down in Santa Fe, got his hands on his father's guns.
Right.
Father could be in some legal jeopardy now, too, if he didn't keep those guns away from the kid.
Well, one was a shotgun and one was a handgun. So
yeah,
it wasn't
we're not talking about these Glocks
weapon.
And the right. automatics and right. whatnot. So, yeah.
All right. Well, on a little happier note.
Let's go!
It is time for the Mets Chock Full of Nuts turning point of the game. Be the first person who can correctly identify the turning point of the game from yesterday. You win a pair of tickets. See the Mets and Cubbies on June 1st at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. Turning point, proudly presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee, since 1932. To purchase tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets.
And now let's go Jeff McKinney with the news at 8:30.
And celebrity chef Mario Batali is facing sexual misconduct allegations. Trish Nelson is one of several women who came forward on CBS's 60 Minutes last night to accuse him.
He would ask to wrestle with me. He would try to grab me. He's a monster.
Really a monster?
I think Mario Batali is a monster.
A one woman claims she believes she was drugged and assaulted. The NYPD is investigating. 10-year-old Miranda Vargas is being remembered today. A funeral is being held for the fifth grader who was killed last week in the school bus crash on Route 80 in Mount Olive, New Jersey.
Everyone is really devastated. We wanted to come together as a community and pay our respects.
It's been terrible for all of us, but this community is strong. They have come together in an amazing way.
And the bus apparently missed its exit, and that caused the driver to try and make an illegal U-turn. And when he did that, he was hit by a dump truck. His bus was. Mayor de Blasio wants cops to stop arresting people for smoking marijuana. He says in a statement that he expects the state to legalize it, so he wants to create a framework to prepare for that eventuality. A spokesman says cops would still be able to go after people with open warrants if they are caught lighting up. Today, President Trump will order the Justice Department to investigate whether the FBI infiltrated his campaign for political purposes. That includes whether the Obama administration is responsible. The Justice Department says it'll investigate and take appropriate action if necessary. Rudy Giuliani says special counsel Robert Mueller will wrap up his obstruction of justice investigation by September 1st. Mueller is looking at whether the president obstructed during the Russia investigation, and there's no indication when the investigation itself, the whole thing, we'll wrap up. A war of words on TV over the Texas school shooting. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick went on ABC's This Week to say mass shootings aren't about guns. He blamed violent movies and video games. You guys just talking about this. Fred Guttenberg, the father of one of the students killed in the Parkland shooting, called the comments idiotic and moronic. But, you know, if you go back and you look at, say, a film noir, something from the 40s or 50s, and it's a violent movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a violent movie.
No, my God, not
by our standards.
No,
there's
no,
nothing
not at
going
all.
On there.
Not at all. Very artistic, those film noir things. Yeah. No, yeah. Nothing like these video games.
No, there's
today.
No blood gushing.
No.
Anywhere. But if you go back to the early 70s, go back to The Godfather.
Yeah.
I think much blood was gushing.
Yes, but even The Godfather seems tame by the standards of what we see, especially in these video games now, I think.
Well, the video games, yeah, where the heads are exploding.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, here's a much tamer story. A new span of the Gothels Bridge is open to traffic today. It has three lanes in each direction connecting Staten Island to Elizabeth, New Jersey. The toll will remain unchanged at $15. Starbucks is changing its bathroom policy after police were called on two black men in Philadelphia. This change in policy, good news for Michael Riedel, apparently.
Apparently. He's running around the streets looking for a bathroom.
You said it a couple of hours ago. You said, you know,
oh,
that's
God.
Great because sometimes...
Sometimes I do duck in.
I'm looking.
Yeah. And who wants to pay $3.25 to use the toilet?
I've done that.
You buy the coffee just to use the toilet?
Yeah.
Hey, you got to go.
Yeah, you got to go. It's definitely worth $3.25. There's no doubt about that.
That's right.
Now, here, France is taking a hard stance against sexual harassment.
Why are you laughing?
No, because the French are the French are total horn dogs.
Yeah, the French are total horn dogs.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, not any
male. No more pinching. No more goosing.
No more this. Men caught catcalling or making comment sexual to women will face fines of up to 750 euros. That's about 885 bucks. The fines can be issued on the spot to Frenchmen. President.
Oh my God!
Really?
President Emmanuel Macron says the idea is to make sure women aren't afraid to be outside and live their everyday lives. Okay. Now, these guys, that's part of the culture. You lean against the building and you say things to pretty girls and they walk by.
Exactly. Of course, the French are always squeezing a hiney and whistling.
Whistle while you work.
Not no more.
All right.
That story and all the others in this newscast brought to you by NYC Pain MD, leaders in non-surgical orthopedic treatment for arthritis pain. Call 1-855-OLD-KNEES.
All right. Coming up next, is it the guns? Is it the culture of violence?
Is it the Ritalin?
The horrible video games? What the heck is causing this plague of school shootings? We want your thoughts. We want to get to the bottom of this with you. So give us a call at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. We want to know what you think. Plus, your next chance at $1,000, that's a lot of euro, is coming up at 9:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to traffic with Bernie Viter.
WOR.
Morning, everyone, on a very nice-looking Monday, 8:42 in the morning. We're taking your phone calls right now. What is causing these the school shootings, and why can't we do anything about it? And is it the video games, or is it the Ritalin, as Ollie North, the new president of the NRA, says?
Or is it the guns?
Oh, gee, you think? Might happen to be the guns that shoot people. No, they'll tell you
guns
people
don't
shoot
people.
Yeah, guns don't people. Anyway, so what do you think? We're opening the phone lines, 800-321-0710. But first, want to congratulate Brad Kurtzberg of Melville, was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' chock full of nuts turning point of the game.
2-2-2 out pitch, swing, high fly ball, left field. To the track, Peralta looks. This ball, gone! Two-run pinch-hit home run. Up comes the apple. And the Mets are on top of Arizona. It is 3-1.
But did he say up comes the apple?
Up comes the apple. That's the apple that comes out of the hat. The apple. You don't know.
No, the apple bobs to the top.
The apple. It's the big apple. And come on, Michael. Get with the program. This is that was the Asdrubal Cabrera pinch-hit two-run homer. Big shot in yesterday's game. So Brad wins himself a pair of tickets. Your next chance to win? Listen to the next next Mets postgame show, which is tonight after the Mets and Marlins, right here on WOR, and find out what is the Mets' chocolate nuts turning point of the game. Look at the phones lit up like a Christmas tree. Let's start with Paul in South Orange. Good morning, Paul. What say you?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning,
Doing
Paul.
Great.
I think we need to take a look at the video games kids are playing. I played video games my entire life. And there are games where all you do is murder people, and kids are playing them all day long. Going to sleep, dreaming about violence and killing people, that's all these video games are these days.
Right,
murdering
Paul,
each other.
Okay, I'm not being rude, Paul. We're just going to try to get in as many calls as we can, because a lot of people want to weigh in. So, one vote against video games.
All right, let's go to Don from Cream Ridge, New Jersey on line two. Good morning, Don.
Hey, guys. So you have like 5,000 retired police officers that are living in Westchester County alone. You know, just please, Cuomo is an idiot. Just put them in the high schools, the middle schools, and I guarantee you, you will never, ever, ever see anything like what happened in Texas happen in New York State. It's amazing to me that you have such a great breadth of talent that lives in Westchester County alone, and we're not utilizing these guys.
All right.
So you're not going to change the culture, guys. You're not going to change the culture by getting rid of guns. Don't be idiots. I mean, I just heard the guy just say that, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
All right, thanks, Don. Appreciate it. Let's move on to Carl in Ringwood, New Jersey. Hey, Carl, you're next up.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, and Mike and all in Wendell. One of the things I just kind of noticed that the governor of Texas, what he said, a big thing that I've seen happen with my own daughter, people these days bully people a lot, and these kids become disenfranchised. They can do it in an instant on their phone. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I had my daughter, one friend started, like, bullying, like, they have a picture, and they crop her out, you know? I mean, you know, oh, wouldn't fit. You know, it's just awful.
All right, so that's one vote for bullying. So we've got one for video games, one for bullying, one wants more school security.
Let's hear what Mark from Farmingdale, New York, has to say. Good morning, Mark.
Yes, good morning, guys. In regards, I mean, the Catholic schools and these charter schools, they don't seem to have problems with shootings. And why don't we take a page from what they're doing, our blueprint?
What are they doing? Do you know what they're doing?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, like, I'm talking like Holy Trinity, Bishop Kellenberg, and like the private schools. They don't seem to have problems with shootings across. It seems only the public schools
that
get targeted.
What are you saying?
Do we know why?
What I'm saying is maybe what security measures are they taking that's preventing anything throughout this nation? Because I know there's Catholic schools throughout this whole nation, correct?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know if it's a religious thing or not.
True, you never hear about a shooting in a Catholic school.
That's true. Camille in Brooklyn. Hey, Camille. Welcome to the program. Camille, good morning.
I'd like to know why I have not heard anything regarding installing metal detectors in schools to prevent all of this happening. The gun laws are going to take months and years before they are settled. In the meantime, all these children could still be alive today. You have metal detectors in airports. You have metal detectors in the federal buildings. Why not install them in school according to our society today?
Thanks, Camille. Some schools are, but it's just not
not quick
citywide.
Enough.
All right, when we return, who won our royal wedding quiz? I know you're dying to know. We all took a quiz last week. I need a ruling, by the way, on the hat color. Plus, you want some extra spending cash, your chance at $1,000 at 9:05 here on 710. WOR.
Hey, you could have surgery to look younger, but why would you do that when you can use Genucel? Listen to what Joanne from Connecticut says. My husband looks 10 years younger using Genucel. He saw results the first day he used it. I have also had remarkable results. I can't be without it. I second what Joanne says. I've been using Genucel now for going on 2.5 months, and the bags and the puffiness that were collecting under my eyes, gone. And the saggy, droopy eyelids that I used to have, they're gone too. Genucel by Chamonix is an easy choice. It contains natural ingredients for incredible results safely and quickly. And right now is the perfect time to try Chamonix's brand new Genucel Eyelid Lift for droopy, sagging eyelids. Order Genucel today and get the brand new Genucel Eyelid Lift absolutely free. Go to Genucel.com, that's Genucel.com, or call 1-800-577-8627, 1-800-577-8627. Get the Genucel Eyelid Lift today and get rid of the bags and the sagginess and the droopiness.
All right, sounds good to me. Let's check out traffic now. See how the cars are sagging along. Here is Bernie Vider.
Yes, it was the train that went round the world. Meghan Markle's train just flowed. That was a lot of dress there, Natalie. It was a lot of dress going out of that wedding.
Are you talking about what started from her head that went back? Because that's a veil, Michael.
I don't know what that. All right, the veil, whatever.
It's a veil. Okay, you're talking about
the
veil.
The train was 60 feet long.
Well, the veil was 80,000 feet long. And they had the little kids were having to unfold. Well,
yes, they were.
That was the train.
They were all wrapped up in it.
No, the thing that the children were holding was actually part of her veil.
Oh, well, I'd call it the train.
And the veil was beautiful. It had 53. Not being British, I'm not 100% sure. Beautiful embroidered flowers, one for each of the Commonwealths.
A whole bunch of nuns in Budapest went blind embroidering those flowers.
Well, at this time on Friday, we did our quiz the way we do with the Super Bowl, you know, the things you could bet on. Mm-hmm. So we did our quiz, and Natalie and Joe and you and I all. Now, the first question that was a gimme, because the first question was who's going to walk her down the aisle, and they announced it 2 hours before we did the quiz that it would be Prince Charles, but really she walked alone for halfway and then she met Prince Charles. So either of those answers might have been acceptable to the judges.
It's true. And they say he really didn't walk her down the aisle. He escorted her down because they wanted to make sure people were not feeling that he was taking place of her father or someone like that.
Her father was indisposed because he had a heart problem there.
So question number two that we all got wrong was what tiara will Meghan wear? Because our choices were the Spencer family tiara, which is Diana's family, the Strathmore rose, which is what Kate wore, or no tiara. None of those answers were correct. She wore something out of the Queen's jewels.
Queen Mary.
Queen Mary, whatever.
Right. Queen Mary. And I thought about it. I don't know if the Spencers actually have their own tiara, but what have you.
She wore Queen Mary? Queen
that's
Mary?
That's what I had read.
Yes,
Queen Mary was dead for a long time.
No, I know. Well, it's came out of her collection.
It's old.
It's old. It's an old tiara. So Megan valuable.
Just, so Megan just gets to rifle through all the
jewels. Pretty much the jewelry the box.
She gets to go to the Tower of London and rifle through the crown
Queenie,
jewels.
Where's your jewelry box?
I want that one that Mary wore before she was beheaded in 1215.
Exactly. It's like, you know, the shoe closet. It's the tiara closet.
Question three, what color hat will the queen wear? Now, I need a ruling because I said purple. Now, granted that the hat was... What are you shaking your head?
It was not purple.
It was a purple flower on it.
But there was green, but it was a big purple thing in front. I get like half a point?
No. Okay. I get the full point. I said green.
Okay. It was lime green. She looked like she should be floating in the gin and tonic.
Let's see what you wrote. You said it would be yellow. Well, it wasn't far from yellow. Will it rain during the procession? All of you guys said no. I said... we all said no. I thought I said yes. No, I guess I said no.
So who won?
Was more questions here. Okay. Will Prince Harry be clean shaven? I was the only one who said no. Oh, no, wait a second. Said no.
I said no. I said he'd be hairsuit Harry.
I said yes, he would be clean shaven.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the only one. You got it wrong.
You're cheating, Len. Len's cheating. He's revising his answers.
And I said the most important question from Saturday would be who would win the Preakness Stakes as part of the quiz.
Right.
And Riedel nailed it. He picked Quip.
Did he even place?
I don't think so.
Where's Mendelsohn? I was rooting for Mendelsohn.
Yeah, the rest of us had justified. So the final results.
Yes.
Riedel and I both got 3 out of 6.
We did? Pretty good for me.
Bartlett got 4 out of 6. Natalie. 5 out of 6.
Whoa! Yes!
Happy. I don't know why, but I am.
Natalie, and you get to pick out a tiara from the crown jewels in the Tower of London. That's your prize.
Thank you.
Now, if you think that this is just a woman thing with the wedding,
yes,
she wins the Super Bowl contest each year, too. Yeah. So, why are we hosting the show and you're in there? I don't get it.
I guarantee
you know what you're talking about.
I guarantee you, I will not win the Super Bowl contest. Trust me.
Well, I can guarantee that one, too. the only quibble I had with the whole royal wedding was how short the vows were.
Okay, here we go. The short version. Do you?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Good. You're married. Kiss her.
What's that from?
That's Spaceballs.
Come on, can you play just a little bit of the real vows?
Okay.
I, Harry, take you, Meghan. To be my wife.
To be my wife.
Harry, I give you this ring.
Harry, I give you this ring.
As a sign of our marriage.
As a sign of our marriage.
With my body, I honor you.
With my body, I honor you.
All right, enough.
Nah,
and the first dance they did was to this song.
Now, I wouldn't have won that contest.
No, I would never have guessed Whitney Houston. No way. All right. Hey, when we get back, sexual misconduct allegations have been made against Mario Batali. Got the rape room there. We're going to talk to WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini, who's outside the Spotted Pig, plus Mark Simone's at 10 o'clock. And your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 9 o'clock news with Jeff McKinney. Monday morning, start of the week, and it's a lovely day out there, and except for
beautiful
scattered showers here and there, it's going to be a lovely week on the whole, I think.
I think so. It's great. Finally, we got spring, if not summer this week.
Absolutely.
So there
we are off and running on a Monday with our big three stories. Rudy Giuliani says that he has been told by the Mueller people that Mueller will wrap up this investigation into obstruction of justice by September 1st, but now we don't know if he'll get to the Russian collusion until September 2nd. We have no idea when this
well,
thing
if Rudy
is
says
wrap
it
up.
Must be true. You think Rudy knows?
No.
He
has no clue. I don't think so. Just, I think it would be fair for all concerned, Len, if Mueller gets it done before the midterm elections so that he can issue his report and let the American people decide.
Well, that's not a bad idea, but you can't rush a Russian investigation. I didn't mean it that way. You can't hurry up. You can't hurry love. Yeah. You can't hurry an investigation if it's not complete.
Although I do think we were talking an hour ago with Steve Roberts, ABC News political analyst, and he said that after a while, there's an expiration date on the special counsel investigations where people start to say, how much money are we spending? Where is this going? Is this ever going to end? You do have to wrap it up fairly soon.
I would think so.
Also in our big three, boy, Mario Batali. Well, we knew a lot of people had come out previously to accuse him of sexual misconduct. But some women went on 60 Minutes last night, Len, talking to Anderson Cooper. And this is more than just, you know, a pinch on the behind.
No, there's a lot more from these women.
I said, can Mario just grab my boobs? And he's like, oh, whoa, don't worry about it. It's just Mario. And I was like, okay.
Just Mario being Mario.
Just Mario, right? Being Mario, yeah.
And you had the woman who wouldn't identify herself, and this is what the NYPD is investigating, her claims that she was basically drugged and assaulted.
It gets completely foggy for me. And this is part of the messy, scary part for me. There is a part where it all disappears. I remember a moment where I was on his lap, kissing him, like he was kissing me. And then I remember throwing up in a toilet, and that is all.
So Batali's one of the best known chefs, restaurateurs.
He has Eataly. Eataly is enormous.
That's his thing.
But we're talking about the Spotted Pig, which is a very chic, hot restaurant in my neighborhood in the West Village on West 11th Street. And by the admission of the owner, Ken Friedman, they had a room on the third floor that they called the Rape Room. We're going to go to WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini in a minute. She is there at the Spotted Pig getting some reaction from the people who are in the restaurant.
And that's in the West Village, right?
That's in the West Village, yeah. Right. That place is hot. I saw Bill Clinton there, and I saw Bono there.
Speaking
and Sting,
of a Spotted Pig.
I have a feeling he had a key to the room on the third floor.
Oh, boy. No, you don't know. You don't know.
And rounding out the big three, that terrible tragedy, the bus that crashed into the dump truck in New Jersey last week. Today, they are burying that beautiful little girl, Miranda Vargas. That's sad, sad stuff.
Found out that she's a twin. We didn't realize it.
And the twin was on the other bus.
Just a beautiful little girl.
They were
girl
on the field trip going to Waterloo.
Park. And Thursday will be the funeral for the teacher who passed.
Jennifer Williamson, the 20-year veteran social studies teacher.
Yeah, unbelievable. Oh, by the way, we got word about half an hour from now. Howie Rose, the great voice of the Mets here on 710 WOR, will be joining us because the Mets went sweep city on Arizona. So all of a sudden, they turned a little corner here, and we'll discuss it with Howie at about 9:40 or so this morning.
Howie put it in the books, Rose. All right, let's check in now with WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini down at the Spotted Pig. Now, Alice, I have lived in that neighborhood for 25 years, and I've been to the Spotted Pig a number of times. What's the action there this morning in the wake of these allegations?
It's a beautiful little restaurant. I love it. It's you know, all the plants and the flowers outside and the tree around the seated area, and the woman named Wendy walking around the street. She's been in the neighborhood for 45 years. There's not much she does. She probably knows where you live, Michael, because she was pointing out, you know who lives here? Lauren Bush. You know who lives here? You know, Rachel Maddow. You know who lives down there? You know who owned that building? Annie Leibovitz. I can't believe you live in this neighborhood. And she said that there have been rumors floating around for a very long time.
Well, I mean, this isn't the first that I heard of it last night either. I mean, there were rumors around the neighborhood, you know.
That he was not a nice guy.
Yeah. You know, neighborhood people don't go there just for a hamburger.
There's more for sale there than hamburger.
I don't know anything about another neighborhood, but there, I know where the bodies are buried here.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, who is this lady? She should write a book.
I've lived there 25 years. I've never heard anything about Mario Batali down there.
Well, maybe you're just not paying attention, Michael. I don't know. You know, for all I know, she just, you don't know. When people are willing to talk to us in a neighborhood like this, it's astounding because it's very difficult in a neighborhood like this, very upper class, for people to say much of anything because they hate the attention. They don't want the news trucks here. But I did talk to one lady who couched her words so carefully.
Oh, I'm terribly surprised. He's a neighbor, a wonderful community member, and no doubt we'll see better from him in the future.
So you have high hopes for him.
Okay.
What you know of him, he's a decent guy.
I have faith in our criminal justice system, and I believe that, you know, if you know, he engaged in criminal activity, that he'll be held accountable.
Wow, she's tap dancing around, huh?
Totally.
Yeah, exactly. And let's go back to Wendy for a minute. Not only is she annoyed about the shenanigans of Mario Batali, but how this restaurant, she believes, is trying to take over the neighborhood.
Firstly, they're paying off I don't know who in the city because there's not enough room to walk on the sidewalk, and that's illegal.
Okay.
The second thing is there's a tow-away zone right where that car is parked. And why is there a tow-away zone?
Wendy, wow, I mean, she's the she should run for mayor of the West Village.
She's got to be the head of the community service board down there.
I have no idea, but Michael, I mean, you are familiar. The sidewalk here is, they've got like plants and trees and
yes, Alice, it's coming. Yeah, that's a good point that Wendy makes, though, because I have noticed they've just, it's practically a greenhouse there. It's a, you can get your gardening equipment when you go by the Spotted Pig, and they have taken over that whole corner there with their benches and their plants, and people are always spilling out into the streets.
Right. So I went into the restaurant because I noticed that there were a lot of hubbub, people getting ready for the day. And I said, listen, I know, you know, all of us were outside talking to people. I just want to give you a chance to respond if you'd like to say something. And they looked at me and said, get out. And then the restaurant manager came out and she said, you know, these allegations, you know, they happened so long ago, but nonetheless, our staff is shaken by this and HR is on its way down here to comfort. Our employees who are just so upset. They're so rattled by all of this that they can barely work. And I'm looking at her going, are you kidding me?
I know. You should have said, hey, can I reserve the rape room upstairs for a private party?
Yeah. I'd like to go up there. I want to check it out.
Yeah.
Alice,
yeah. Did you sneak up there?
I don't think so.
With my blue light. You know, that light that shows up everything.
Yeah. It shows stains. Hey, I, you know, if Guinness gave a record, you know, for reporters who were told to get out, I think you'd be right up there, Alice. I mean, you are booted out of some of the nicest places over the years.
I would just like to make as much money as Michael so I can live in the West Village next door to Rachel Maddow.
Alice, I bought my apartment 25 years ago when nobody was living down there.
I know. I remember when there was nothing here except that chocolate shop on Hudson Street, Jacques whatever.
Oh, yeah.
There was nothing down here. I mean, we're going back like 25 years.
Hey, Alice, when Wendy was running through all the celebrities that lived down there, at what point did she get to Riedel?
That's exactly. I knew you were going to say that, Lynn.
I didn't want to disappoint you.
You know what? He's on the radio, so he can be incognito. That's the good thing about being on the radio.
Actually, I ordered a coffee the other day at my little local coffee shop, and they say, hey, I listen to you every morning.
Really?
Yes.
Well, hello. Nice. Give the shout out to the coffee shop. This is very nice.
It was the Elk.
Go to the Elk. The Elk.
Can I get a free coffee?
Maybe. Go. Tell them who you are, Alice. They listen to you.
Alice, is the bar open at the Spotted Pig?
No. Did I try to go in?
All right.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Alice. See ya.
The food is good at the Spotted Pig, but it's really not my scene. It's too chic. It's too hot.
You didn't tell me you hang out with Rachel Maddow down there.
I don't hang out with Rachel Maddow.
She's a neighbor of yours. She left out Hugh Jackman, Wendy.
Hugh Jackman
lived down there?
Hugh Jackman lives there, and Matt Harvey used to live there before he moved to Cincinnati.
Well, he'll love Cincinnati. It's a fine place.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they got any Spotted Pig restaurants in Cincinnati.
But this 60 Minutes report, it wasn't just the unknown. They had several women on there last night, yeah. Michael.
He would ask to wrestle with me. He would try to grab me. He's a monster.
Really, a monster?
I think Mario Batali is a monster. He has been lauded as this incredible chef and this leader. But behind the scenes, he is hurtful and he does not respect women.
Well, I wonder what this NYPD investigation will look like, because as we've seen in many of these, for example, how long have we heard now that New York, Los Angeles, and London police are looking into Harvey Weinstein?
Months.
Nothing. So, I mean, I think these things are very, as you mentioned earlier this morning, very tough to nail down, right?
The woman sounds totally credible to me, but when you say things like, I found myself on his lap, I was kissing him, well, no, he was kissing me, and after that, it's all foggy and I go blank. That's hard to nail somebody on that kind of vagueness of a testimony, I think.
This is one of the other women who spoke last night.
He lunged forward. He grabbed my face. He started kissing me very sort of sloppily. He pulled up my shirt. He put his hands on me, and I felt frozen.
Her name is Erin Fine. I guess so. When they named the Spotted Pig, they were naming it after Batali.
Here's the question, though. I wonder if people, well, Natalie, you can weigh in this. Are people going to boycott these restaurants because of these allegations against him? Are you not going to go to Italy, which is his flagship empire? Don't know.
Don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if people would not.
I was in Italy the other day, and it was jam-packed with people.
Well, you know the Weinstein Movie Company is kaput, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, all right, speaking of pigs, when we come back, Harvey Weinstein. He's not in Cannes Film Festival these days, but you're going to hear what an actress has to say about what he used to do when he was at that film festival. Piggy stuff. Plus, Mark Simone is coming up, and your next chance to pad out your bank account with $1,000 is coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Biter.
At 9:25, we're talking about Mario Batali, the famed chef and restaurant owner who's being accused and was accused on 60 Minutes of more sexual attacks on women. And now NYPD is investigating, which brings us all back to Harvey Weinstein. Now, the Cannes Film Festival wound up Saturday night, and the closing ceremony was Saturday evening, and they gave out the big awards. And giving out the award for Best Actress was Asia Argento. Now, if that name doesn't ring a bell, she was the woman who accused Harvey Weinstein twice of assaulting her. That was the initial so-called investigation that was dropped by Cyrus Vance.
Right.
That's what started all this.
She claimed she was raped by Harvey Weinstein.
Well, the crowd was aghast when she started speaking at the close of Cannes the other night.
I have a few words to say. In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes. I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground.
So the festival, the Cannes Festival, was his hunting ground. And he raped her, according to Asia Argento.
Well, didn't we hear last week, I think there was a Page Six item, that staffers at the Hotel du Cap, where he would stay, said that he would often come into the bar with a lot of babes on his arms, a lot of prostitutes, and some of the actresses he was hunting around. I'm sure he used the Hotel du Cap as his hunting ground.
Listen to this take from the Hollywood Reporter. Let me read you this paragraph. Argento entered the stage to loud applause before she started her speech, which eventually silenced the crowd. But as soon as she began, the room was visibly stunned, with viewers unsure how to react and looking around nervously. Many were shocked, given that Argento was so directly accusing the festival crowd of its role in abetting Weinstein's alleged abuses against women.
She said, "Even tonight, sitting among you, there are those that need to be held accountable for their conduct against women. You know who you are." Wow. I wonder if she's going to come forward with allegations against more people who are hanging out there at the Hotel du Cap. Where, by the way, a club sandwich costs about $75.
I know that. I ate lunch there once. I don't remember what it cost, but it wasn't cheap.
I have lunch there once a year when I go to the south of France, and the club sandwich is about $75.
Is it really? It's very expensive. Other entertainment little tidbits here for your listening pleasure here.
We do indeed. America is absolutely nuts about Harry and Meghan. Nearly 30 million people and tuned in to watch the royal wedding on Saturday, and you were not one of them.
I watched.
Oh, you did?
I did watch. I told you, by the time I got into it, they were singing Stand By Me, and then I watched the vows.
Oh, so you stayed to the end?
Well, I don't know if I stayed to the end. I don't know what was the end. No, I did, but I saw them going around in the carriage and the crowd cheering, so I guess I was there. What did I miss, Natalie?
You watched Natalie's it by shaking. Accident.
I did.
See, I knew it.
I did.
He did not purposely wake up.
It was on every channel, though.
Well, my TV is locked on CNN, as Michael knows.
It's not like you woke up, got your tea and your crumpets, and was ready.
How about the Today Show was the number one of all the networks covering the royal wedding? Today's show did well.
Can I put in a good word for my pal Imogen Lloyd Webber? She co-anchored with David Muir on Good Morning America. She looked terrific on air, and she knew all about all the royals.
Well, listen to this. The Today Show had 6.4 million viewers. Your friend Imogen and ABC had 6.3 million.
Not
CBS,
bad.
4.8 million. I mean, huge numbers. How about Deadpool 2 knocked Avengers as the top spot in the box office? So it's all these superhero stuff.
$125 million Deadpool 2 took in, and not a dollar from you, Len Berman, right? Am I right about that? Did you go to Deadpool?
No, I did not, and that's a movie I'm not going to see.
Ever.
What else? SNL, you weren't impressed. I thought it was a pretty good final show with Tina Fey. You didn't care for it?
No, I didn't.
You just don't like the show.
I like Tina Fey, but I just didn't think the bit with her wanting to go in the Mean Girls was funny, and I didn't think the Sopranos takeoff with Trump as Tony Soprano was that hilarious.
Can I admit I didn't realize it was Soprano takeoff?
You didn't know that was the Sopranos?
I didn't realize.
Final scene?
I saw the final scene of the Sopranos. I didn't realize that was the takeoff until I... I read it the next day on, the, on Twitter. Oh,
well. They were in a diner. It went to black.
I'm a waste of time. I know. Anyway, we got all the videos up from SNL and from the wedding and anything you want to see. Check out our website, 710WOR.com/Lenna Michael. At 9:30, time for latest news headlines. Joe Bartlett has the day off here, filling in Jeff McKinney. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, good morning. And the NYPD is investigating sexual misconduct allegations against celebrity chef Mario Batali. Trish Nelson was among those to accuse him on CBS's 60 Minutes.
We called him the Red Menace.
Why?
Because it was a warning. The Red Menace is here. Like, pull all of your bits in. Mario's in town.
And another woman claims she may have been drugged and assaulted by Batali. He denies the allegations. Mayor de Blasio telling cops to stop arresting people for smoking marijuana. He thinks the state is going to legalize it anyway, so he wants the city to be ready. Senator Chuck Schumer says he agrees. That's a good move.
We have five states now that have legalized marijuana. Crime has not gone up. Drug usage has not gone up.
How about car accidents, though, with... Someone's emailed me about that this
morning.
There
was a story about that.
Yeah.
Last week, I guess.
I think they were
driving under the influence is driving under the influence.
Yeah, and I think they were in Colorado faced more of that. And I bet you that states do face more of that. I really do.
Well, let's get some numbers.
We need numbers.
Hard numbers. The Manhattan and Brooklyn DAs have already announced they would stop prosecuting most marijuana crimes. Let's go to Wall Street now.
Good morning, everybody. Monday, start of the week. I hope it turns out to be a good week for you because it was a good weekend for the Mets. I was a little concerned, Len, that Howie was getting rusty with put it in the books, but he had plenty of opportunity to put it in the books over the weekend. And the legendary Howie Rose joins us. Good morning, Howie.
Hello, Michael. Len, how are you guys?
All right. Here's the question, Howie. Have they turned the corner?
Well, you know what? Baseball is over 162 games, a series of pockets, you know, pockets of 10 games, pockets of 3 weeks, whatever it is. And this is a good pocket the Mets are in now, but I would be hesitant to say that this means it's a springboard to clear sailing the rest of the way. That's not the way a baseball season works. But, you know, having looked back on the last 5 or 6 weeks kind of as a set, it's nice to sort of be out of the doldrums they were in.
Well, the Mets beat Arizona, a team that's not very strong. They swept them, and then they have the Marlins, another one of the weak sisters, come in tonight. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. You and Josh Lewin will have the call. Schedule working in the Mets' favor, but I was looking at the starting pitcher for tonight, Howie, Jason Vargas. Now, to look on the bright side, he's improving, because the first game he gave up 9 runs. Second game, he gave up 6 runs. The third game, 4 runs. And his earned run average is now dipped below 14. So he's on the right path.
And so at that pace, he ought to give up about 2 runs tonight. And the Mets should be in pretty good shape.
There you go. Bingo. See, I was a math whiz.
I get it. But you know what? Right now, they've had 2 really, really good starters and 3 essentially fifth starters. And 1 or 2 of those guys are going to have to be better than that if the Mets are going to go for a nice little ride this year. And that begins tonight with Vargas.
How is Cespedes holding on there? We keep hearing reports about an injury here and there. How's he look?
That'd be nice to know a little bit more about it, but he doesn't really talk to us, so we really,
really
can't tell you anything from the inside there, except that it's the kind of injury that requires a little bit of rest. And historically, especially when it's come to Cespedes, you know, the 10-day disabled list usually means a little more than 10 days, but I wouldn't even venture a guess as to how long it's going to be. I don't really think he'll be ready to come back as soon as the 10 days are up.
What really has to feel good for the fans and for you guys in the booth are the late-inning heroics, and it seems that each night over the last couple of games, boom, some late thunder and big home runs, and all of a sudden these guys are the Queens Bombers.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? Because it makes it more fun even for a broadcaster. You know, when a team's not going well and they're not scoring runs and you're down 2 or 3 in the late innings, you tend to think, looks like you could start thinking about the next game. But conversely, when they're doing what they've done recently, which is to put together some late rallies and either come from behind or extend leads, you know, then you've got that sort of anticipatory feeling where, you know, you can't wait to get to the next half inning because you never know who's the guy that's going to turn the game around going to be. So we're in that little stretch right now, and that's a lot more fun than looking to the next one.
All right, Howie, we love it when you're enthusiastic. So will you give me your line? Let's
Hi, Michael.
Perfect. I don't listen to it either.
You got to pay extra for the other stuff.
You betcha. That's a lot extra.
All right, thanks, Howie. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, pal.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
Take it easy. When we come back, we're gonna party like it's 1776.
Yeah.
Get out the fife and drum set, I guess. Plus, the Starbucks bathroom is open for business, number one and number two. And if you're looking to pad out your bank account with $1,000, that's coming up at 10:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check it on the traffic with Bernie Biter.
In the morning on 710 WOR.
And at 9:54, good morning, everyone. Just a gorgeous day out there. Hope you enjoy it. Mark Simone coming up at the top of the hour. Now, this seems kind of innocuous, doesn't it? A New Jersey principal, Cherry Hill High School East, Dennis Perry, on the prom tickets, it says, let's party like it's 1776.
So you have to get out your fife and drum set, and you got to dress like Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson?
I mean, I like this partying better. I don't know, 1999 sounds a little bit better than 1776. I don't know what they meant.
Dress up like a Minuteman.
Well, the prom is in Philadelphia at a historical site.
Yes.
So he was trying to tie in that.
Well, it seemed kind of innocuous. Then they pointed out, well, not a great time in 1776 to be black in America. many happened to be slaves. And I think
that could be.
Not everybody was partying.
Oh, yeah. So the principal, Dennis Perry, put out a message to the students saying it was insensitive and irresponsible not to appreciate that not all the communities can celebrate what life was like in 1776. Now, he never mentioned slavery. So that wasn't part of it, but
right. it was a little insensitive.
It
was the founding of our country. We can't run down our founding fathers because they were not as enlightened as we are today.
Well,
we can't erase history.
The head of the NAACP Camden County chapter said the tickets reflect the lack of black representation in the community. So I guess I would be guilty of that. If you tell me 1776, first thing I think of is
Ben Franklin and the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
But obviously, if you're black, that's not the first thing you think of.
That is true. All right. Hey, you can now go into Starbucks and you don't have to shell out $4.75 for a mocha latte to use the men's room or the women's room or the unisex bathroom.
Now it's $10?
No, it's nothing.
Ah!
It's free.
Gotcha.
Starbucks has sent a letter to all of their employees
saying
that anybody who comes into a Starbucks, whether they buy something or not, should be considered a customer, and therefore, if they want to use the restroom, they're free to do that.
You think that might be a mistake?
I think
people are going to be in New York, and they're going to be lined up out the door.
I don't want
for a bathroom break.
I don't want to be the guy who's got to clean the restroom.
That's true.
That's going to be a lousy job. But I have to confess, I have over the course of my life here in the city, ducked into a Starbucks and pretended to be standing online, and when no one's looking, I've ducked into the bathroom, and then
But they lock it when they see people like you coming,
right? But you wait, because usually someone's in. So if you just loiter, someone's going to come out, then you can get in.
Just a loiterer.
That's it.
So what's with New Jersey and winning lottery tickets, Natalie? And why can't you win one? Now we've got a $315 million winner at the ShopRite in Bergen County.
Right, a sole winner.
No
joke, $315 million.
Well, that's chump change compared to Richard Wall. Remember, he won $533 million in the mega prize right down the street from you in New Jersey.
Yes, literally walking distance from my house. But I'll take the $315. I won't be
upset. It's amazing.
What would your dream trip be if you won $315 million? Where would you go?
You could travel anywhere.
And would you take the kids with you?
Yeah. Natalie would say the local soccer tournament. That's where she would travel.
Believe me, I do enough travel there. No, I would probably go to Greece. I'm going to Italy this summer, first time, very excited, but I haven't been to Greece yet, so.
Really?
Really.
I'm going to Greece in August.
Well, take me with you.
If you win $350 million, I certainly will take you with me.
What part of Greece are you going to?
I go to Athens first, where I've been before. I love Athens. And then I'm going to go to Mykonos, where a friend has taken
a
villa.
There's not a lot to do in Athens. I mean, you see
there's plenty to do in Athens.
You see the Parthenon, and that's about it. I was there for the Olympics for 2 weeks,
The museum is amazing in Athens. Great restaurants.
You travel in the summer to visit museums?
Yes, I love museums. Absolutely.
Beaches are better in the summer.
No, I always like to have a cultural trip in my itinerary.
Oh, you're an egghead.
Hey, here's a nice thing. George H. W. Bush, you know, he was sick. He had an infection, and Barbara died last month. And we were kind of you know, concerned about his health.
We didn't think he was going to make it.
No, but he is back in Maine and Kennebunkport at Walker's Point, which is the name of their house, and he's been going there ever since he was a little kid. He arrived in Maine yesterday, and lots of people with American flags were there to greet
him.
That
was great. I saw the footage as his car rolled down the street. The streets were lined, waving American flags.
But, you know, it's his first time in that house without his wife, so you know it's going to be a poignant summer for George H.W. Bush. Well, but we wish him well.
We do. This has been quite a show. We've had a lot to cover. If you've missed any of it, we've had some great interviews. Check us out at 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. That's it for us. Should we do it again tomorrow?
Do we have to?
We do. What did he sound like? Harlan Coben, the great writer.
He's great, yeah.
He's producing a Netflix series, which I watched the first episode. Very interesting.
Yep,
Harlan will join us. Coming up next, Mark Simone. Next chance is $1,000 after the news at 10 o'clock. And we can't get enough of the royal wedding, so we'll bid you farewell with this. So darling, darling.